the coaching by both Coach Griffin and Dylan in youth football, but that had just ended. It was Dylan's season had just ended, and when Griffin passed away, and so then, as I said, my mom, she had prior to Griffin passing away, though, it was a Mother's Day, actually the day after Mother's Day that very year, she found out she had stage 4 uterine cancer. Mm-hmm. And so she survived a lethal surgery where they removed a lot. And so she somehow survived that, only to 8 months later pass away. And so there was kind of a rough time there where, for me, it felt like everybody was going, nobody was coming.
Yeah.
And so that led me to a serious, serious bout of depression, to the point where in August of 2015, I actually shot myself and in the head, underneath the chin. And, with the intention of not being here. And so as I look back now, everything I didn't have to live for, I now have to live for. And so it was just a period of time where life was tough. And it was, once you get down, what my experience is, once I got down that low, it didn't feel like it was ever going to end, and unless I ended it.
Hey everybody, it's Aldo Gandhi, and I just want to let you know really quickly that our swag shop is reopened. DeepDishTees.com is where you go, and that's tees with T-E-E-S. Clever name, guys. They're the new home of our merchandise. You can get t-shirts, you can get caps, you can get coffee mugs, you can get hoodies, you can get all sorts of good stuff, and you'll help out the bar room with the purchase. So head over to DeepDishTees.com. The following program is a production of the Barroom Network. It is intended for all audiences.
Doug Buffon.
This defense sucks. This is moronic.
John Buffon.
If your best run plays are coming off end arounds, there's a problem.
Doug was behind the microphone first. He never held back.
Very difficult to score when your offense is on the bench. When your defense is out there giving up 70, 80, 70, 64-yard drives.
Now, it's his nephew, John, and there's no holding this buffoon back either.
An offensive-minded coach that's running an offense that got 9 yards and a half. A beaten-up defense that isn't necessarily performing in key situations.
I've had it. I have had it. I want somebody to get kicked in the ass.
How many games can you rattle off that involve the team running the ball 7 times and they win? I can't think of any.
I don't mind you getting beat. I got my ass whipped many times. But I tell you, I took somebody down with me.
Because Bears fans wanted to believe in the worst way that Chicago had a stable, competitive franchise. And this is what we got.
It's Buffon 55, the John Buffon Show.
Hello and welcome to the fifth season of Buffon 55, a fast-paced approach at breaking down the Chicago Bears. I'm John Buffon, and with me again this season is my co-host and producer, Alyssa Barbieri. Alyssa, we're back in business. How you doing?
I'm doing good, John. We got football coming, even though, you know, I'm pretty sure the Bears are going to, you know, be the Bears and kind of let us down there a little bit, but I don't care. I'm excited. They're 0-0 right now. Like, I'm good. I'm ready. I'm ready. Let's go.
Have hope. Have hope. Honestly, I think Aldo Gandito only renews this show because he wants to see if my heart will actually explode on whenever we're streaming this live. So we'll see if this actually happens this year. The Bears are going to give us plenty of fits. Hopefully, They're going to turn the corner. Maybe we see Justin Fields. Maybe we don't. We're going to get into all of that later. But Alyssa, we got a great guest lined up for week one. But just in case this is someone's first time listening to the show, and by the way, what the hell took you so long? Just in case this is your first time listening, Alyssa, can you please give them a rundown of how this show works?
Absolutely. So Buffon 55 has three segments, and we always begin by learning about the Bears' upcoming opponent from someone who follows them closely. And today we're fortunate enough to have Kenneth Arthur, who is part of the SB Nation team at Vox, writing about the Rams for their Turf Showtimes site. That's then followed by our B55 segment. That's when I ask John five questions, and his responses must be completed within 55 seconds. The 55 is John's way of paying tribute to the great Doug Buffon, his uncle, his mentor, and a man who played 15 seasons with the Bears and wore number 55. We then finish things up by going into the basement, Buffon's basement, where Aldo Gandia joins John and me, and the three of us chug down some Bears talk. So, John, take it away.
Thank you, Alyssa. And like you said, our guest is part of the SB Nation team over at Vox, writing about the Rams for their Turf Showtime site. We now welcome Kenneth Arthur to Buffon 55. Kenneth, how you doing? Thanks for being on.
I'm really excited. Thank you for having me. You guys do a great show here. I'm excited to be a part of it.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's week one. Everyone is 0-0. Everyone has high aspirations, I guess, for the most part. Maybe whether it's misguided or not, everyone has high aspirations. So I want to dig into this Bears-Rams matchup. This is a matchup that's been happening quite often throughout the years, but this one is going to be a little different. Obviously, two different quarterbacks heading for both teams. So I want to start with the Rams. They've garnered plenty of preseason hype heading into 2021. What are the expectations for the Rams this year? Because they have a tendency to trade away a lot of their first-round picks, and it looks like they're living in the present. Is this team kind of Super Bowl or bust?
Yeah, I definitely think that the idea of trading future first-round picks in an effort to push all your chips into one season, while it does hold some truth to it, of course, for the obvious reasons, the Rams do expect to be a Super Bowl winner this year based on the acquisition of Matthew Stafford. I also just think that the Rams and several other teams around the league have a strategy that they believe that they get greater value out of proven veterans with their first round picks, even if those players come with higher price tags, than the risks you take at the end of the first round. So if you're stuck there constantly picking after 2025, and you know the Rams traded two first round picks for Jalen Ramsey, those picks to the Jaguars turned into Travis Etienne, the running back who unfortunately is out for the year, and Kalyvon Chaisson, the defensive end from last year. So I think that the Rams just say, hey, we'd rather have Jalen Ramsey, even if he's $20 million a year. And I just think that's part of the strategy. As far as expectations, like I said, absolutely. When you come in with a defense that was ranked first in the NFL, and because they have Aaron Donald and Ramsey, because they have some lesser known good players on that side of the ball, they hope to at least stay in the top five, top eight range after losing Brandon Staley for the defensive coordinator to the job with the LA Chargers. And then when you add Matthew Stafford and get that, what I would consider a big upgrade at quarterback, that's what they expect to make the difference between, hey, we're a playoff contender, and now, hey, this is a team that you should expect to see in the NFC Championship, if not the Super Bowl.
You talk a lot about Matthew Stafford there, and I do want to hit on that real quick because that's a name that Bears fans are very familiar with. What does the addition of Matthew Stafford do for this Rams offense? Does it open up more things that they can do that they couldn't do with Jared Goff? Or what can, I guess, Rams fans over the course of the season and Bears fans in week one expect to see from Matt Stafford while he's in LA?
Well, to answer your question about whether or not we can expect to see it open up the offense, the answer is yes. I would say that I was all alone kind of in 2018 because I just was not impressed by Jared Goff despite the success that the Rams had that year. I had concerns that what happened in the playoffs would happen, and then with the contract extension that he received right after that, thought this was not the way to go. And even though that was at a time when he was almost an MVP, I just didn't seem like he had yet taken those steps forward to take over a team in the way that I think Matthew Stafford has proven over the last 12 years at times, being able to carry what is often just a very weak Lions roster, even if that's to a 9-7 record or, you know, just being decent and contending in several games that they have no business contending in. You know, I don't think that Goff had that same kind of ability to take over a game, that same command when the players weren't able to lift him up. And when they didn't have Todd Gurley anymore as a person who was going to lift him up, and they didn't have a running back who came in and had that same ability and skills, it really, you know, I don't want like to use the word exposed because it had carries such heavy connotations for so many people. But I would just say that it made it pretty obvious that Jared Goff had not taken that step where he could lead an offense. There was no deep passing. There was nothing in the last 2 years to really suggest that the Rams were going to have an explosive offense again. And I do think Stafford gives that opportunity because of everything that he's proven as a deep ball passer and as a leader.
Let's talk about some of the guys that are going to be playing behind Stafford, namely the running back room. Cam Akers goes down for the season. That's a big loss. The Rams go out. They sign Sony Michel, but they still have Darrell Henderson back there. Probably can't expect a workhorse load for Henderson. So what do you see the touches looking like in the Rams backfield? And maybe it changes throughout the year, but this, let's just talk about week one. Can we expect a breakup of touches in the backfield?
I think absolutely. I definitely would say that ultimately, what has Darrell Henderson proven over his career in college and the pros? He hasn't proven to be a number one running back who takes on 200, 300 carries. He's only had about 600 plus carries in the last 5 years of playing football. I do not expect in a 17-game season for the Rams to expect themselves to rely on Henderson in the same way, again, that they wanted to rely on Henderson when they drafted him as insurance for Todd Gurley. And then when Todd Gurley needed that insurance cashed in, you know, it just never really happened with Darrell Henderson. This is his opportunity. He's a young guy. Maybe he's going to come in and play differently than he's had the last couple of years, which is he's had success on outside zone runs and playing off tackle, hasn't had so much success, and neither have the other Rams running backs going up the middle inside. And that's definitely going to be a potential problem area against the Bears when you're going up against Akeem Hicks and Bilal Nichols and, you know, these really impressive run stoppers right there. Against Brian Allen, the center who started a few games a couple years ago, and Rams fans, let's just say, did not want this outcome of Brian Allen being the center, even though we can't really say anything about Brian Allen or really the offensive line, because McVay benched his starters for the entire preseason, and we really just are going off of his word that they look great.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you to kind of prognosticate about that offensive line. One thing we do know about them is that they are big. What do you expect out of this line, and are they going to have trouble with the Bears front seven?
I think that everybody's going to have trouble with the Bears front seven. So I'm a big believer in the Bears as a very good, if not great, defense. I'm a big believer in Sean Desai, so I'm not against at all the idea that the Bears will give a lot of teams problems with Khalil Mack, of course, and maybe a better season from Quinn and another former Rams linebacker there in Ogletree. So it's going to be really interesting to see all those guys coming together. And the Rams offensive line, I think it's been a little underrated, you know, because again, when you're not getting those types of games from the quarterback and the running back that you were getting a couple of years ago when everyone loved your offensive line, well, it's just that your job becomes that much more difficult and you're blamed for this or that or the other thing. And, you know, I really think that while Matthew Stafford's going to take more sacks than Jared Goff, because that's the type of quarterback he is, it's all just risk assessment and he takes those risks. You know, I think that the Rams offensive line will be much happier and perform better because they're going to have a quarterback in there who climbs the pocket, who stays in the pocket, who is not afraid and to stick inside the pocket and be nimble and find his opportunities within the pocket and is also able to roll outside. I would honestly say that you guys have a much better opinion of Stafford than I do, seeing him twice a year and probably being more aware of whether or not he really bothers the Bears on a consistent basis. And I would like to know what you think about that. But I do think that the offensive line with Andrew Whitworth, you know, he's almost 40 years old, but if he's there, I'm assuming it's because they think he's still pretty good. So I do think the offensive line has potential to be middle of the pack, if not on that top 10 area.
Yeah, it's hard to get a real good assessment of Matt Stafford from our point of view, just because, like you said before, he's around the Lions roster all the time. He's a gutty quarterback. He's a leader, and he's brought some teams. He's elevated some teams to mediocrity that maybe should not have been to mediocrity. But it's hard to really tell what he brings unless you see him around some actual coaching and talent, which is what he's going to have in LA. So I guess this will be our first real look at Matt Stafford at what he can do. And let's talk about the guys he's going to be throwing the ball to outside of Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. I want to know about who could give the Bears some problems in the slot, or the number three or four wide receiver, talking about DeSean Jackson, Van Jefferson. The Bears are, at least from the Bears fans' point of view, are a little shaky on this cornerback position on the defense. So who could be that guy that takes advantage of that for the Rams?
Yeah, you know, it's been kind of interesting to see this decision to sign DeSean Jackson in the offseason, which is what the Rams did. Jackson is 34 years old. He's only played in, I think, 8 games over the last 2 seasons. But him and Sean McVay worked together for 3 years in Washington, and they just have a very tight relationship. And they're the same age, unbelievably. So, you know, it's like they're buddies. And, you know, if Sean McVay and the Rams felt like they could give Jackson $4, 5, 6 million, depending on how much he plays, I just have to trust that they did work him out and said, yeah, he's still the guy that can give us the deep threat and the speed that we've lacked on offense in these last 2 years, which, again, after it wasn't just Todd Gurley, but, you know, the Rams had Brandon Cooks there in the 2018 season. He was hurt and didn't play as well in 2019. The Rams may have jumped the gun when they traded him to the Houston Texans for a second round pick that turned into Van Jefferson, who we'll talk about in a second. It really worked out. They believe well for them to now have DeSean Jackson as a speed guy and Tutu Atwell, their second round pick this year, as another speed guy. Tutu Atwell is arguably, I don't know what the fact is, but he might be the smallest player in the NFL, 150, 155 pounds. But he's very, very fast, and he is a very interesting wide receiver prospect that came out of Louisville. He's probably number 5 on the depth chart, though, because Van Jefferson is another guy who we're hearing from Sean McVay and we're assuming is going to be a big part of the offense, but we haven't really seen him because he didn't play a ton as a rookie. So the expectation there is that, yeah, with Woods and Cups and with DeSean Jackson and Van Jefferson, those wide receivers, and then Tyler Higbee is going to be, you know, he might have his biggest campaign because he's really, for the first time, like a really solo tight end without having Gerald Everett this season. So it's going to be a lot of pass catching weapons, I think, for Stafford. Whether or not they have like a top 10 receiver among them, or, you know, a top 15, I guess depends on your opinions of Woods and Kupp. But certainly I think there's some more depth there.
Bears defense going to have their hands full with the Rams offense. I do want to switch sides of the ball now, because the Rams defense gets a lot of accolades. They get a lot of people talking about them. But I want to talk about the coaching staff first. With the departure of Brandon Staley and the insertion of Raheem Morris, will this defense look different? Are there going to be any new twists and turns, or any kind of different attitudes or philosophies going into this Rams defense in 2021?
From what we hear, Raheem Morris, the new defensive coordinator, you know, will keep a lot of these same principles and ideas that Brandon Staley brought to the Rams in 2020, after, as you know, stops with the Chicago Bears and the Denver Broncos. And, you know, he is what they say, the Sean McVay of defense. He still has to, I guess, go to a Super Bowl within the next 2 years to really do that. And honestly, I think the Chargers might do it. So we'll see what happens with Brandon Staley. But I think it was enough of an impact for them to say that, hey, look, we're going to keep moving Jalen Ramsey around and make him the star position. And sometimes he'll play and cover tight ends or in the slot or wherever he decides to best be suited on a defensive play, because he's just that fungible and talented, and he's able to cover so many different types of players, which is why, again, you give up 2 first-round picks for that opportunity. And I would say that Raheem Morris is kind of just an unknown, you know, even though he was a head coach for a few years with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and even though he was an assistant for 6 years with the Falcons there under Dan Quinn, or 5 years, he hasn't really been a defensive coordinator very many times. This is his second opportunity to really do that, or third opportunity, or third season, or something like that, because Dan Quinn was running the defense with Atlanta. So it's really Raheem Morris's chance to be the next Brandon Staley, to be the, you know, to then take over that role and see whether or not he gets offers here in a year or two. But I think anytime you have Jalen Ramsey and you have a 3-time defensive player of the year in Aaron Donald, you expect to have no worse than a top 10 defense, which is what I think everyone is expecting.
Yeah, Bears fans love hearing about how awesome Brandon Staley is and how the Bears let him go and how he's not on the staff anymore. We love hearing about how he's just revered across the league, but that's neither here nor there. It's not your job to make us feel better about that. So I want to talk about that secondary a little bit, just because we talked about Jalen Ramsey, but who's probably going to be tasked with covering Allen Robinson, could get some looks against Darnell Mooney. Outside of Ramsey, what does the secondary look like? And is there opportunities there for a team like the Bears to maybe take advantage and get some big plays?
Yeah, I think that's good news, bad news, whether you're a Bears fan or a Rams fan. The good news for Bears fans, I think, is that the losses, or at least the biggest losses in free agency, off the top of my head, I guess I could be wrong about this, but it were Troy Hill, the cornerback, and especially John Johnson, the safety. So those were two of the players on the Rams defense last year that had the most snaps played. And so they played a huge pivotal role on the defense. And there wasn't really anyone to step in and replace them other than players who've been on the team for a couple of years and not really stood out. And that's probably the biggest concern there, which Taylor Rapp is a former second round safety out of the University of Washington, I think 2019. He's had starts in each of the last couple of years. He probably has some coverage issues so far in his career. Does some other things well, and you know, it could be a better player this year, and certainly will get that opportunity, it looks like, to start alongside Jordan Fuller, who was a breakout 6th-round pick for the Rams a year ago at safety. And Darius Williams is going to be the other cornerback that will be regarded as the best after Jalen Ramsey on the Rams. And Darius Williams, he's only started like 13 games, but he's has a good number of interceptions. He seems to complement Jalen Ramsey really well and is maybe one of the more underrated cornerbacks in the NFL, and he can kind of play inside or outside as well. So Darius Williams will be one of those other guys, but the other spot will go to David Long Jr., who was a 3rd-round pick a couple of years ago and also just hasn't been able to play any defense or get onto the field for defense in his career so far, and may have had some questionable moments in training camp, and that kind of opened up some concerns about whether or not the Rams do have depth at cornerback. So you know, I definitely think there are favorable matchups there for Allen Robinson and Darnell Mooney. Should they find themselves not lined up against Jalen Ramsey or maybe Darius Williams.
And we got to talk about that Rams defensive line, because one of the biggest concerns for the Bears going into this season is the state of their offensive line. So much so that some Bears fans say you can't even think about starting Justin Fields because Aaron Donald will eat him. So having Andy Dalton back there, you know, the most fleet of feet quarterback known to man, what, if anything, can the Bears do to slow down that defensive line, especially Aaron Donald, or is Andy Dalton just in for a long night?
Yeah, it's always, you know, like the same with the Bears defense, which I think they're going to give a lot of people a lot of problems when you have Khalil Mack, no matter who you bring in an offensive line. I think the Rams are going to have that week in and week out with Aaron Donald because of how dominant he is and has proven to be as a player. And he is, I think, 30 years old right now. So he's really in the middle of his career if he compares to some of the other all-time greats, which I think he deserves every bit of consideration among them. So I think when you have Aaron Donald drawing double teams and triple teams and even winning in many of those circumstances, it opens up opportunities for a lot of his teammates. And we've seen several of his teammates go on to other things and get better opportunities and you know, really show that maybe they did benefit a lot from playing with Aaron Donald. This year, the Rams did lose Michael Brockers and Morgan Fox, two of their top four defensive linemen from last season. And they've kind of just replaced them as well, with the other positions on defense. They've kind of just replaced them with internal options that we don't have a real good idea of where they're at in their careers because they haven't played a lot. So we're going to find out. And then A'shaun Robinson, another guy who was from the Lions, who you guys must remember, has had injury concerns ever since he signed last year, in and out of consideration as a player who will get out there, and is dealing with an injury right now too. So I know he was on the injury report today, and I know that he is not necessarily someone who I am relying on Sunday night, but Sebastian Joseph Day is going to be a player to watch. He's going to be a player who is really Aaron Donald's true right-hand man for the last couple of years and is expected to potentially have a real breakout campaign this year.
Excellent stuff. I'm going to throw you over to Alyssa now. Alyssa, you've been looking over some stuff in the chat room. You've been doing some research on this game. Do you have any questions for Kenneth before we cut him loose?
Definitely. One of the things that we were getting a question, because, you know, having faced, you know, Matthew Stafford a couple times a year, he always had difficulty staying healthy. So is Stafford 100% healthy, as hopefully he should be at the start of this season? Because that wasn't always the case in Detroit.
Yeah, he is 100% healthy. He did have a momentary thing in training camp where he hit his thumb on a helmet, and there was concerns that he had suffered a thumb injury, but it turned out to not be enough to keep him out of practice the next day, and he was just right back at it. I really think that Matthew Stafford has more than anything proven that he is a super tough guy who has played in almost every game in the last 9 years, except for missing eight games in 2019. So it's outside of that one back injury, he continues to gut it out week in and week out and go out there and play. So I have absolutely no concerns about Matthew Stafford, more so than any other quarterback in the NFL. And certainly there are quarterbacks who I would feel less sure about being healthy.
So during the offseason, one of the storylines that, you know, was, you know, really happening with Bears fans was, you know, last year when the Bears and the Rams played, Darnell Mooney got the best of Jalen Ramsey there. And, you know, had his quarterback been able to get him the ball, you know, he was gone probably for a long touchdown. And then obviously Bears fans were kind of going at Jalen Ramsey there a bit, and he got a little, you know, tiff. So, you know, is this something you think Ramsey still kind of has that in the back of his mind? Is that something that we could see take place here on the field on Sunday?
I would probably say I know that Ramsey is a very boisterous and loud and doesn't mind to speak his mind type of player and all that. But I really find that he is super kind of like mature and grounded and not nearly the same guy who's been portrayed in the media and the in these arguments. I mean, he's also what, like a 25-year-old guy. So being on social media, maybe he's going to get involved in altercations that one day he'll decide are not worth your time, anybody out there. I think that was sort of just a thing where he's kind of always pointed out, because I think that the media can misportray something that Jalen Ramsey does because they kind of want to tick off Jalen Ramsey, or they kind of know that that's an area of popularity. So the media starts to find any story that they can make up into something that sounds like, hey, look at what Jalen Ramsey's up to something again here. Look at Jalen Ramsey. But most of the time when Jalen Ramsey does respond, he's saying, so this is what you said about me, and this is just what the truth was. And I think like in those, that case against Mooney, he was, or even like this season in training camp, for example, in a joint practice, someone saying that Jalen Ramsey lost a couple of one-on-ones versus somebody. I can't even remember. And Jalen Ramsey was just like, that didn't even really happen. You just don't really understand what you're looking at on the field. So I think that that's a perfectly acceptable answer. And I think like that kind of just happens with players, is that they do take on a media persona, and then it's kind of just about playing to that persona. But overall, I think that as far as being super amped for Allen Robinson or Darnell Mooney or whatever, I don't think that he treats any game differently from the next, which is why I think he's the highest paid cornerback in the league now.
And before we let you go, I have to get your game prediction. This is the first of the season, so lay it on us.
I honestly haven't really thought about it. I don't, I do think that the Rams will win. And I think that I say that just because I believe objectively they look like a very good, talented team, and they'll be at home and they'll be very hyped up in this first game at SoFi Stadium that'll have fans in the stadium. You know, SoFi Stadium is the $5 billion stadium that opened last year for the Rams and Chargers, and you know, Southern California, they're trying to turn the whole area into Disneyland too. So that's going to be something that the NFL is planning on featuring a lot on primetime this year. Get used to that, and get used to, you know, seeing a lot of SoFi Stadium. It will host the Super Bowl this year, and the Rams are hoping to be a part of that. So with regards to just knowing that the Bears are still figuring out their quarterback situation and the Rams paid a very high price not to have to do that, I will pick the Rams.
What a diplomatic way of picking the Rams. It's okay. We understand why you're picking them, Kenneth. We're not going to hold it against you. I think a lot of Bears fans are picking the Rams too. So, but we appreciate the politeness there. But before we get you out of here, can you tell us, and you tell all of our listeners who are following up with this Rams-Bears game or want to know, follow up on the Rams in general, how they can find your work, how they can connect with you?
Yeah, I would definitely say that we've got a lot of coverage of both the Bears and the Rams, obviously more of the Rams, and we're trying to get to know the Bears better, but a lot of coverage previewing the game at turfshowtimes.com. And if you like NFL draft stuff, there's a little bit of next year's NFL draft stuff there too. So that's at Turf Show Times.
That's Kenneth Arthur. Kenneth, once again, we appreciate you being our first guest of the season. When the Bears and the Rams meet in the NFC Championship game, we'll talk to you again. How's that sound?
Thank you.
All right, Kenneth, thank you so much. We appreciate it. We'll be back with more Buffon 55 after this.
The Mikey Bet Show. Do you know the Mikey Bet Show?
Coming this fall, the Barroom Network presents two fired up Bears fans. They are ready to rumble on Da Bear Debate.
and welcome back to Buffon 55. Now it's time for our B55 segment. That's when I ask John five questions, and his responses must be completed within 55 seconds. The 55 is John's tribute to the great Doug Buffon, his uncle, who played 15 seasons with the Bears and wore number 55. Okay, John, you ready for this? It's been a while.
It's been a while. Let's see if we can shake this rust off quickly, because there's really no room for error on a show like this.
Okay, John, so the topic that has been hovering over the Bears is the fact that Justin Fields appeared ready to take the reins on offense in the preseason, but Matt Nagy apparently has promised Andy Dalton he would start, and that's exactly what's happening. So what are your thoughts on the quarterback situation? I think this is the perfect one to start the season. You have 55 seconds.
Well, this kind of proves that it was never about when Justin Fields was ready. It was all about when Andy Dalton will fail. Andy Dalton is in a lose-lose situation. His entire motivation with the Bears essentially comes down to putting off his expiration date. Andy Dalton is basically a carton of milk that you keep sniffing before you take a drink because you want to see if you can squeeze one more day out of it before you have to throw it away and get a new carton. Andy Dalton's in the fridge. He's kind of sour, but Matt Nagy wants to see if he can stomach a few more weeks before he has to go to his rookie Justin Fields. New England, New York, Jacksonville, they all trust their rookie quarterbacks enough to start them in week one, but the Bears don't. And before you come at me with that San Fran argument, Trey Lance isn't starting week one because he hasn't played a meaningful game in over 2 years. Jimmy Garoppolo has been in that system for years and took the team to a Super Bowl, and Trey Lance has a chip in his finger. Those are two very different situations, if you ask me. So, yes, I feel like this has been mismanaged. I feel like Andy Dalton has been set up to fail.
Yeah, definitely. And I understand that the initial plan going into this being to rest Fields, you know, not to rush him. But that was before training camp and before preseason when we saw that he looks fine out there. He looks ready. And if he's ready, then why is Matt Nagy holding him back? I kind of feel like he's afraid, right? This is like his last shot right here. This is his handpicked quarterback. He inherited Mitch Trubisky. Justin Fields is his guy, so he doesn't want to mess it up. But at what point are you hindering his development, Fields' development in the process by sitting him when the best experience is to be on the field playing these games?
Yeah, and he's also not getting reps in practice with the ones. I don't know how it really helps your progression so much if you're just, you know, running the scout team and then all of a sudden you're thrown in week four or five and you haven't been taking team one reps throughout the season. So I just think that Andy Dalton's going to be another convenient scapegoat whenever things go to hell. Everyone can blame Andy Dalton, and then Matt Nagy gets one more reprieve with Justin Fields.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the Bears offensive line situation, I'm sure that has played a factor as well. But at the same time, there's no perfect position to kind of put a quarterback in there. This is the NFL. He's got to be ready, and he appears ready. So what's the holdup?
No, and that the whole argument, remember last year when the offensive line was atrocious and everyone's like, you got to put Mitch back in. He can make plays with his legs. Foles can't get away from the pass rush. He can't move around. You got to have a guy that's mobile back there. And now the argument is, no, you got to put Andy Dalton back there. Yeah, Andy Dalton's the right guy to have back there when you have a superior athlete in Justin Fields as the backup quarterback. I don't get it.
Yeah. The only thing that they owe Andy Dalton at this point is that $10 million guaranteed, and that is it.
Oh, yeah, poor guy.
Poor guy. So although the Bears have the oldest roster in the NFL, they do have some candidates to break through. So, John, as you look over the depth chart, who do you think is taking a giant leap in 2021? The clock starts now.
I know the popular choice is Darnell Mooney, and I completely understand why. I think that kid's going to be a superstar, but I think this is the year David Montgomery really splashes onto the national scene. Bears fans already know what he's capable of, but I think he finally creeps in that top five discussion in 2021 with the likes of Christian McCaffrey, Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara, Dalvin Cook, and so on. Now, this is very dependent on his usage, and if Matt Nagy remembers that he actually allowed to run the football, but all the tools are there. This guy never goes down on first contact, always falls forward. He can catch the football, and he has enough speed to break away and have some big runs, as we saw last year. He had 5 rushes over 20 yards. He had 2 for over 40, and just for some comparison, Alvin Kamara had 7 rushes for over 20 yards, and Dalvin Cook and Aaron Jones both had 6. So he's kind of in the ballpark there. And just to show you how confident I am in this, I'm in 5 fantasy leagues this year, and I have David Montgomery in all 5 of them. That's how confident I am in this guy for 2021.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard not to be when you look at what he accomplished over the last 6 weeks of last year when, you know, the Bears finally allowed him to run the football. Like, he was arguably the most dominant running back during that span, and he finished 5th with the most rushing yards in the league, 5th most scrimmage yards. I definitely think David Montgomery had a mini breakout year, and he'd definitely be my pick as well. Darnell Mooney, like you mentioned, is a popular candidate as well. Have him more involved on offense. And I'm also watching tight end Cole Kmet, because usually year two is when those tight ends really make that leap. So we'll see if he's able to do that. He is tight end one at this point. Makes you kind of wonder about Jimmy Graham still on the roster. But, you know, at this point, I guess they have 3 young guys. And, you know, you could argue even more, like Bilal Nichols is in a contract year. James Daniels in a contract year. You know, you have a lot of guys that really have a lot to prove this year.
Yeah, there's plenty of guys that need to prove themselves. The jury's out on whether or not they actually will.
Definitely. Okay, so now that we've heard about your breakout player, let's start talking about someone that needs to bounce back, and that can bounce back this year. So there are plenty of candidates on this Bears roster. So good luck. 55 seconds and go.
Well, this one is kind of tough because I'm not overly confident in any of the candidates here. I could say Eddie Goldman, but I guess that would be kind of cheating. How about this one? Robert Quinn. Now, I'm saying Robert Quinn because the bar is set so ridiculously low. He had 2 sacks last year, which was the lowest of his career. You know, last year things were shortened because of COVID and he was kind of banged up. But this year he has a full offseason. He's apparently had a good camp. Matt Nagy said they even had to put the reins on him a little bit. He's apparently in a better headspace now. One of his best buddies, Alec Ogletree, is on the team. So there are some things to be excited about with Robert Quinn. He'll probably never live up to his contract, but if he can get you 7 or 8 sacks and truly disrupt some things opposite side of Khalil Mack, I think most Bears fans would take that. Now, I don't like that he got put on the injury report. That kind of hurts my case a little bit. But I think that the bar is set so low for Robert Quinn, it can't get much worse.
Yeah, I was definitely going to say that because 2 sacks, a career low, like that's got to be the easy answer there. And I think someone else you can also look to, especially in this new defense, is safety Eddie Jackson, who's going to look a lot different out there wearing number 4. I feel like the first couple of weeks, weird. I'm going to be like, who's that out there? But, so you know, weird. Eddie Jackson, yeah, I mean, his first 2 seasons in the league was just absolutely dominant. And then once Chuck Pagano kind of took over, you know, he kind of, you know, fell by the wayside. And he admitted, Jackson, that he needs to step up this year. And I feel like what better position and what better time when you have Sean Desai, someone he's worked with since his rookie season, someone who knows how to put his guys in the right positions to succeed. But Eddie Jackson's also going to need to step up and make those plays, which he wasn't able to do last year, and he needs to get better with the tackling. So I definitely think Eddie Jackson would probably be one of my bounce back players.
Yeah, and both of them, both Quinn and Jackson, they're being paid handsomely, so you'd like to see them earn a little bit of that money. And certainly Jackson didn't have as bad of a season as Quinn did, but you're expecting more out of Eddie Jackson.
Exactly. So this week's show, it's all about predictions. So we can look back at the end of the season and kind of see how wrong we were, or hopefully how right we were. So let's turn our attention to the tight end position. Last year, Jimmy Graham had 50 catches and 8 touchdowns, and Cole Kmet had 28 catches and 2 touchdowns. So with Kmet's rookie year in the rearview mirror and Graham inching closer to 35 years old, John, who do you think is going to have more receptions this year, Graham or Kmet?
Well, I can say this. It better be Cole Kmet or something has gone terribly wrong with either injury or progression. If you want to say Jimmy Graham's going to have more touchdowns, I can listen to that. But Cole Kmet was the Bears' highest draft pick in 2020. He better get the opportunity to play like that in 2021. All we heard about last year was how they needed to get Cole Kmet more involved in the offense, and he was picking up the pro game so quickly. Well, put the kid in. I know they must love Jimmy Graham because he's still on the team with that contract that they just reconfigured, and they kicked more money down the road. That's a topic for an entirely different podcast, entirely different show. But they kept 5 tight ends. I'm not sure they can realistically feed 2 sufficiently with production. Jesse James and Jesper Horsted, love them. Love what they did in the preseason. Doesn't mean a damn thing if they're not on the field. So to answer this question, it better be Cole Kmet, or this is a real big failure. I want to see Cole Kmet on the field more than I see Jimmy Graham on the field. I want to see him take that step.
Yeah, like you said, it better be committed. It has to be. How can it not? Last year, they were holding him back, kind of easing him into things. And then we really saw his production and involvement really ramp up in the second half of the year. And, you know, I feel like at this point, even, you know, Jimmy Graham, he's going to be your red zone threat. And I understand that. And they value him enough, like you said, to keep him on the roster with that money and wasting, right. You know, a valuable roster spot. But at this point, if it's not commit, you know, it's a problem, especially because this is the year where he really should take that next step in his development. And he was a top pick in the draft last year. So, you know, he really needs to show up.
It's just so, it's so aggravating that it's just so unpredictable at this point. For me, it's aggravating that we still have to talk about what we think that's going to be. That's what irritates me.
That's the Matt Nagy effect, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Don't get it twisted. That's exactly what it is.
Okay. So John, the 2021 NFL season is officially kicking off Thursday, but Sunday is when the Bears will start their 2021 season. So a lot of Bears fans are already writing this season off as a bridge year or a throwaway year until Justin Fields is ingrained as the starter, or Matt Nagy is gone, or the Bears just free up a lot of cap space. But no one likes throwing a season away before it starts. So why should fans care? No clock for this one, John. Take it away.
Look, I'll tell you why you should care, because it's Chicago Bears football. I'm not trying to get too deep here, but we only get so many of these in our lifetime. Some of us are in our 60th Bears season. Others are just getting into their fandom. But either way, there's no feeling like the beginning of September. The Chicago Bears, your team, is back and the slate is completely clean. And we know that anything can happen in this league. And if you're not a sports fan, it's kind of hard to explain. Football season has an effect on us like nothing else. Sure. It can drive you crazy. It can push you to irrational highs and irrational lows. And we really can't explain why we love the game so much. Hell, everyone probably has their own reason for that. And when someone asks you why you care so much about a game that you're not even playing in, you might not even have a good answer for them. But this sport has everything. Drama, comedy, triumph, tragedy. And for 3 hours out of the week, you feel like you are connected with millions of people across the world. There are not too many things that can do that. So embrace this time of year, embrace the game, and bear down. We'll be back with more Buffon 55 right after this.
Even before I got into radio, I knew that he was somewhat of a knucklehead because, you know, he alienated White Sox fans by immediately charging them money for a free product that they had been getting on TV. So he screwed that pooch up. But I also liked him. You know, he picked up Pudge, Fisk. He also saved the White Sox. With Jerry and me, it's always been love-hate. He's been mad at me forever, but we've tolerated each other. I think, you know, he'll always blame me for him getting rid of Reniac and Gallus, Rob Gallus. I was the major culprit there. I've been mean-spirited to Kenny Williams, and he deserved it. Darren Jackson, Ed Farmer, name them. I was hard on the White Sox, and he didn't like it. That's just the way it goes. I've been in his head for years. And you know what? I said, if I was your right-hand man, you'd win more than you're winning now. He told me I reminded him of his father. I go, did you hate your father?
Welcome back to Buffon 55. It's time for the final segment we call Buffon's Basement. That's when Alyssa and I walk down the stairs, we get out the shop vac, and we clean up old Aldo Gandia, who's been asleep on the recliner since, I think, last January. So he's going to join us to talk a little bit of Bears. Aldo, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Great interview with Kenneth. I'm fully primed for the Sunday night game. I can't wait for the season to start. And it's just great to have you guys back. Year five of Buffon 55, the third year for Alyssa. And by the way, Alyssa, congratulations on being named regional editor over at USA Today, taking care of all those wires. That's got to be one heck of a job. Congratulations. Very proud of you.
Thank you so much. I'm excited for all football all the time, and I get to still cover the Bears, so that's going to be exciting. You know, kind of listening to John and his last 55 question, like, got me really branched up. I'm like, now we have to wait till Sunday. I know, granted, we have a football game tomorrow, but, like, I'm ready for some Bears football now. I don't care if we know that the Bears are probably going to lose to the Rams. I'm just ready for the season to start.
Yeah.
Damn right. And we're going to talk about that Bears team right now. I gave you my opinion on the quarterback situation. I think I made myself very clear on that. Aldo, we just brought you on the show, so I want to know, how do you feel overall the Bears handled this quarterback situation in the offseason? Because if you look at it, the trajectory of this whole thing, it went from we signed Andy Dalton to, oh my God, we drafted Justin Fields, to they're starting Andy Dalton. So how do you think they handled this entire situation?
Well, the Bears have a history of mishandling quarterback situations, and this falls right in line. I think that probably what happened is that the Bears were in a very precarious position at the quarterback position. They did not want to bring Mitchell Trubisky back. Matt Nagy probably told Ryan Pace, I can't run the offense with this guy. He can't do it. So we've got to bring somebody in here. And Nick Foles is way past his prime. He's breaking down. So we've got to bring somebody in here. And so they had to, in order to lure Andy Dalton to the Chicago Bears, they had to make this promise. You're going to be the number one quarterback, even if we draft a quarterback. And so they're sticking to that promise. Now, that promise could last a half if Andy Dalton goes out there and plays god-awful and throws two or three picks. You might see Justin Fields come in there. We talked on the Bear Debate about the possibility of you and Tyler Ellis on the new Bear Debate show talked about the possibility of Justin Fields coming in and some package plays. Well, what happens if he comes in on a package play and he runs 80 yards for a touchdown? Can you send them back to the bench for the rest of the game if it happens in the late in the first quarter or in the second quarter or the third quarter? No, it could be the dawning of a new era right there on Sunday Night Football. But to answer your question, yeah, the Bears mishandled the whole quarterback situation just like they have in their history.
Alyssa, I'm going to turn to you for that as well, because I hate the idea of, oh, we have special packages for Justin Fields and we're going to get him on the game. If he's ready enough to be on the field and run these special Justin Fields packages, why isn't he ready enough to take control of this offense? And much like Aldo said, let's just say one of these special package plays works and you're going to look at the team in the eye and say, it's okay, Andy's our guy. We got to send him back. And I resent that. I don't resent the fact, but I just scoff at the fact that the Bears had to lure Andy Dalton. They had to lure him in. Where were his other options? I mean, and right now, and I know right now you look at his situation, he's got to be thinking, I'm on such a short leash and this is maybe the only team I could start for, but it's not a great situation. Alyssa, what's your whole take on this?
Yeah, no, and kind of going back to the package plays that you were talking about, we saw the Bears do that with Mitchell Trubisky last year. What if he gets hurt on one of those?
When he got hurt, and you
lose him. Like, if you're going to bring him in, he's ready to start right now. It's really frustrating listening to Matt Nagy, you know, kind of talk about, oh, yeah, we feel comfortable if he needs to go out on the field. Then why isn't he starting? And we all know it's because he made that promise to Andy Dalton. And it's just really infuriating when you see, I feel super jealous watching all these other teams and their rookie quarterbacks who are going to be starting week one. And I'm sitting over here like, I get to get excited about Andy Dalton. And I started doing a leash watch on Bears Wire, like, just because, like, I need to have some fun with this. And I'm hoping it only lasts for a half and I don't do it past this week. Because I'm just really excited to see Justin Fields because he showed that he is ready. I mean, it's not to say he's not going to make mistakes out there, because every quarterback does, and especially rookie quarterbacks, but he needs to learn out there. And let's be real, this entire season, this isn't about contending for the playoffs or for a Super Bowl. This is about developing Justin Fields, and the best way he can do that is to be playing on the field.
I got to butt in here. The whole thing, and Alyssa and so many other Bears fans are saying, well, what if he comes in for one play and he gets hurt? Well, if he starts, there's going to be 60 plays. So that's 60 times more of an opportunity to get hurt. This guy is a weapon. And if, you know, in that scrimmage action where he had four touchdowns in the red zone, why not have red zone packages for him? He proved against the Dolphins that he can do that really well. And what about having go routes and he runs after all the receivers have cleared out space for him? There's all sorts of things that you can do to get his feet into NFL action and probably generate a lot of yards and maybe even touchdowns. So I think he's a weapon and he should be used. It's going to be hard for anyone to talk me out of that one.
Oh, I understand what you're saying, but also, you know what also gets his feet wet in the NFL? Having him take first team reps in practice all week to get ready for the game. You know what also gets him having that consistency in the game at those 60 plays where we're talking about what if he gets hurt and everyone's like, well, you can't put him in against Aaron Donald. You can't put him in against the Rams. Okay, then what, you put him in against Cleveland, or are we just going to pick and choose when you can put your quarterback in there? Did you see the shot he took in the preseason? His helmet got popped off. He took plenty of shots while he was at Ohio State as well. He's a tough kid. He's a football player. So if you're worried about having your quarterback in bubble wrap, then you picked the wrong guy. So if he's ready to play, put him in. If he's only how are you only ready for my special jet sweep player? I'm only ready for my special everyone clear out and I'll run the ball play. That's what I'm ready for, coach. No, you're ready to play or you're not ready to play. So if he's ready for this packaging of plays, then put the kid in and let him progress and make his mistakes. Let him go. Yeah, no one's expecting him to go in there and be the MVP this year. But I would like to see those growing pains take place now than whenever he's put in as the starter in week 7, 8, 9, 10. If he is ready, and from what it sounds like, he's ready, then he should be in there right now. And these promises that you make to Andy Dalton, what are you mad about? That Andy Dalton's going to be mad at you? That Andy Dalton's not going to invite you to his birthday party? What are you worried about not the breaking your promise to Andy Dalton? I hope it's one of these, or it could be one of these things like we saw in Houston when Deshaun Watson came into the league. What, did Tom Savage like walked out on the field and then walked off? He technically started the game, but then Deshaun Watson took over in the first game of his rookie year. Maybe that's something that we see there. But if I'm Andy Dalton, I'm like, I'm just waiting to be tapped. As soon as the second he throws an interception and at Soldier Field, the second he underthrows a ball, the second he fumbles, the second he takes a sack, the Boo Birds are going to be coming out, and they're going to be coming out hard. And regardless of what Justin Fields says to the fans, they're going to be chanting his name the second anything goes wrong for Andy Dalton. That doesn't sound like a great situation to me. You might, if you have a kid that seems like he's outperforming the incumbent, then put him in.
Ah, I'm exhausted. And he was doing other functions. It's hard to argue with anything that you said there. If I were the general manager, I would say I want John's plan. But that unfortunately, that's not the plan that we have, and so we're kind of stuck with this plan. And you know, I do think that Andy Dalton can go out there and play well. You look back at the last four games that he had with the Cowboys last season, he won 3 out of 4. He threw 2 touchdowns in each of those 3 wins. In the loss, he was sacked 6 times. That's the only worry that I have. If he's going to get the same kind of protection that he gets with he got against the Giants in that last regular season game last year, if he's going to get that same kind of protection against the Rams, then the Bears are going to lose no matter who is quarterback. Even if Justin Fields is the quarterback, you know that the Rams are going to throw exotic blitzes, exotic schemes that even veteran quarterbacks are going to have a challenge at. So it is what it is. At this point, you know, the one good thing we have going for us, and I think Alyssa might agree with me, is that we have a quarterback who has seen every defense and can hopefully recognize stuff, make the offensive line adjustments so he doesn't get his head knocked off like Fields did in that preseason game.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I feel like he'll be ready. I feel like he's ready right now to go out there. And like John said, I feel like Andy Dalton is just kind of waiting to be pulled. And we saw how short of, you know, quick of a trigger that Matt Nagy has when his quarterback starts struggling last year after that one interception was like, Mitch, you're out. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see that like as soon as the first half of this game, if things get really ugly, which they can, because, you know, Aldo, I agree with you, like, you know, I think Andy Dalton's a solid quarterback, but that's when things are kind of going right around him. The Bears offensive line is a mess right now. Even when all five of the starters were out there for the final preseason game with Justin Fields back there, it was a mess because they haven't had the time to get that cohesiveness down. And, you know, you have Jason Peters now, 39 years old at left tackle. Jermaine Effetti, just not confident about that situation. So it's even like an argument to bring Fields in because he's someone that can help alleviate the pressure on the offensive line. So, I mean, we'll see how long Dalton lasts. I'm really curious to see if he does make it out of this game. So that's definitely going to be something to monitor.
Yeah, and before we move on to the next topic, I don't want to get it twisted and anyone think that I'm rooting against Andy Dalton. I don't care who's in there. I want the Bears to win. I hope Andy Dalton throws 5 touchdowns. I hope he scrambles for 100 yards. Now I'm being a little crazy about it. I just hope he plays well. But I'm just looking at it, and this is what I'm predicting, and I think that they should have went with the young kid. But
John, before you take us to the next topic, Roy, who has a comment up on the screen earlier in the show when you had your guest on, Roy said that he umpired some of the baseball games that you played in, and I asked him what kind of a hitter John was, and Roy said that they had to remind you to take the bat to the plate.
Listen, Roy was an umpire over in Little League, and to be honest, that the hitting did not progress. I was in high school, I became a little bit of a pretty good baseball player, but Little League, I was just trying to get the ball in play. The swing did not progress until we hit the weights. Yeah, and
it's hard to do that if you don't have a bat in your hands.
Yeah, and you know, whenever you don't know the rules and you run to third first, it becomes this whole thing. But yeah, things progressed once my dad put a weight in my hand and I was able to get that little quick twitch muscle working a little bit. But yeah, thank you, Roy, for bringing my personal childhood into this show. But anyway, let's talk about the Chicago Bears here. Let's rip on somebody else. Let's rip on the Bears. But everyone's talking about the quarterback situation and Matt Nagy, and you know, these are the fun things to talk about. These are the very polarizing things to talk about. Something that I think that goes under the radar, though, is the cornerback crew on this squad. We're talking like Kyle Fuller didn't leave. We're talking like Jalen Johnson is automatically going to take that step. I think he will, but we're just taking that for granted, or that he's going to stay healthy the entire time. And then I don't want to call them the island of misfit cornerbacks, but you got a couple guys that you're not sure exactly where the depth chart shuffles out. You got Kendall Vildor, who they're excited about. I'm excited about. Still very unproven when it comes to being a starting cornerback. Duke Shelley, Xavier Crawford, and they brought Artie Burns back. You're really not sure how this is going to shake out. Alyssa, what's your concern level, your panic level for these cornerbacks? Because if you don't get a pass rush, I don't know how long these guys are going to stick with the receivers.
Yeah, I'd say my concern level is pretty high at this point. And, you know, we didn't get to see too much in preseason. I think that's why we really won't know until, you know, they're in the first week and we see it unfold. And it could be pretty ugly. It could be better than expected. But, I mean, I feel fine about Jalen Johnson. I think that I'm hoping he'll manage to stay healthy. I think he'll take that next step. But it's more about, you know, obviously the guy lining up opposite him, which looks to be Vildor right now. I mean, we'll see. He showed promise in the final games last season, but he isn't really proven. It didn't seem like he really won the job over Artie Burns or Desmond Trufant. Like, so that's my concern. No one really seemed to take ownership or take control of that job. And then also in the slot too. Like, I mean, I think Marquis Christian will probably line up there. I'm not really too confident in Duke Shelley. I mean, there's just so many question marks. And when you're going up against so many high-powered offenses, it's terrifying. You know, so we might just finally be getting a quarterback that can help this offense put up points, but, you know, then we're also going to have concerns at the cornerback position, which could also have this defense giving up a lot. So it could get ugly. I mean, I want to see what happens in the first week, but right now my panic level is a little higher than I would like it to be.
Yeah, I am. I'm with you 100% there, Alyssa. I think that one of the things we're hoping for is that Sean Desai can come up with the type of schemes that are going to get the most out of these players, but it's going to take time. It's impossible for me to imagine that all of a sudden week one, in the first game that Sean Desai is going to call as a defensive coordinator, that he's going to get the defensive backfield to play at a high level against a Rams offense that is well-oiled, even though they've got a new quarterback, even though they have some offensive line questions, even though, you know, it's the first game of the season. It's the first game of the season for Sean Desai, the first game of his career. It's the first game for this defensive backfield to work as a unit. So there's going to be some ugly parts. And as John said, if we don't get a ferocious pass rush, we're going to be in trouble. I was doing some prep work for the Bear Truth, the Danny Shimon show that comes on Thursdays at 8 p.m. and pulling some highlights from Matthew Stafford's time with Detroit. And one of the things that Stafford did really well was stepping up into the pocket. And so that means that the interior, the Bears offensive line, defensive line, has got to get a pass rush in on Stafford. They cannot allow him to step up into the pocket and throw, because he will demolish any zone that the Bears come up with, and probably on one-on-ones, it may not look pretty as well. This game could get ugly if the Bears' defensive backfield, and particularly that pass rush, perform at a high level.
I want to kind of step out of the in the moment talk we're having right now and talk about a subject that is kind of all encompassing, because a lot of Bears fans are still talking about this and we're still not really sure. But it's finally hitting the national media that this notion might be true. Whereas it doesn't matter what happens this year with the Chicago Bears, as long as it doesn't fall apart, as long as they don't go 4-13, because there's an extra game this year or whatever it is, that Matt Nagy is safe. That the McCaskey family has put their trust in Matt Nagy. Ted Phillips, no matter who says he doesn't have a say in things, has his trust in Matt Nagy. So I want to ask your opinions on this. Is Matt Nagy actually safe? Because I think that he is. And honestly, Aldo, I butted heads with you about this last year because I thought that he was gone. I honestly thought he was on the hot seat. I thought this guy was packing his bags. You can't take this anymore. And is the more that you pay attention and the more that you try to listen to context, the more that you think, holy crap, this guy might actually be around for 2022 as well. Because there's always going to be an excuse. He didn't get the quarterback. When he came in, he didn't draft the quarterback. The guy couldn't run his offense. They couldn't get the right personnel. And then they bring in Nick Foles, but then Nick Foles didn't work out. It's Nick Foles' fault. And all the draft picks that didn't work out. And that's a Ryan Pace discussion. Let's just talk about Matt Nagy. You bring in Andy Dalton, but you can't get rid of Matt Nagy now because we just got this, you know, shiny new quarterback that we drafted. And you got to give us time to develop him, and he's going to learn our system. And you don't want the quarterback going from system to system to system. Look what happened to Alex Smith in the first 4 or 5 years of his career. So the more that I think about it, the more I think that really he probably did get a vote of confidence from the front office that he'll be back next year. Because like I've said on numerous occasions, this franchise is run like a family diner. They got their brother Buster in the back making grilled cheese. They're burnt to a crisp, but you can't fire him because he's such a nice guy. And we like to have him around the facility. We can't get rid of him. He's screwing things up, but listen, he's just a nice guy. I like to pass him on the hall and say, hey, Matt, how you doing, buddy? You shake hands with him. How's the family? Good. Oh, absolutely. You're doing a great job. Take it easy. We'll see you later. Let's do lunch. And so the more I think about this, the more that I think that he might be back, as long as there's not an entire implosion. Remember, there's a 6-game losing streak last year that didn't apparently mean anything. No one ever put the feet to the fire to say, hey, I'm not talking about the media. I'm talking about ownership. Hey, Matt, why the hell did this happen? I just think that he's going to be safe moving into 2022. Barring a complete meltdown, what say you, Alyssa?
Oh yeah, no, I agree. I think he's safe. I think we talked about that this last year too. If he was to go ahead and draft a quarterback, that would guarantee him a couple more years because you have to develop and you have to give me time. If he doesn't work out, I don't think that we feel like Justin Fields isn't going to work out in his rookie year. That's certainly changed, but I definitely think he bought himself more time. It's frustrating. Like you mentioned, the nice guy. I'm so sick of hearing that. I don't give a damn if he's a nice guy. How is this team? Like, they made the playoffs 2 of the last 3 years. I'm tired of hearing that too. Did they win? No. Did they have a winning record? No. He's not getting it done at this point. I'm just fed up. I don't want him to ruin Justin Fields. But again, I still feel like he's going to be here in 2022. And it's not a good feeling. they like them too much. Like you're saying, the way that this organization is run, and we talked about this last year, it's just they don't know what they're doing. And it starts with the president. He doesn't know what he's doing either. So, I mean, I definitely think he's safe through next year. I can't believe we have to go probably another 2 years with this guy at least. And then if Justin Fields works out, God, it could be even longer.
The culture, Alyssa, the culture, though.
The culture. They have
a culture so many teams are envious of.
What about a winning culture?
No, don't worry about the winning. People clubbed like, up. They look at the Bears and they say, man, that is nice. We wish we had a culture like that. Well, you know, it's not a winning culture. Like you said, it's just a nice culture. It's a culture where you can come in and you feel like family. Listen, if I'm running a team, there's plenty of members of my family I don't want anywhere near that team. But I'm not gonna put them in there just because they're nice and I'm gonna have a good time and hang out with my buddies and pals and drink pop and play cards and have a sleepover and have a great time. Show me results. I want results. I want wins. 40 years and we're still talking about how awesome the 85 Bears are. I'm tired of it. I shouldn't be mad before the season even starts. I shouldn't be this mad before they're 0-0 and I'm already yelling.
The why? How do we forget about the why?
Listen. We got to go back, and that's just where we're at.
Joe O'Donnell says Nagy's so safe that he's starting Andy Dalton.
Yeah, it's almost like he's almost taunting us now. Like, you want to know how safe I am? I'm throwing Andy Dalton out there. See how safe I am in this job?
Right. Well, it's interesting. They have not answered the questions about their contract status when they've been asked.
Neither
Nagy and neither the team president when he was asked that question. So what does that mean? It leads me to speculate that Nagy and Pace went with their plan to management and said, this offseason, we're going to bring in a veteran quarterback and we're going to bring in a new quarterback. And it's going to take a while to develop this new quarterback. It's going to take at least a couple of seasons. And so the management said, okay, we like that plan. And so if you guys, follow through on that plan, we'll give you this extension. So Pace has probably gotten the 1 year extension to match with Nagy's remaining 2 years, 2021 and 2022. And Pace has been extended because his contract was supposed to end at the end of this year, but it's very likely now that his contract goes until 2022. So I have a really, really good feeling that these two guys are going to be around for the next two seasons. That's 2021 and 2022.
Is it a good feeling? You said it's a good feeling you're having. Is that really a good feeling or a strong feeling that you're having there? Yeah.
It's like that feeling you get when you're really, really hungry and there's nothing in the refrigerator. It's like,
right.
I really want a Super Bowl, but it's not in the fridge.
Well, that's to your point, Aldo, how often do we just see a coach play out his last year on the contract or a GM just run out his last year and no one's talking about very rarely that you're either extended or you're fired. I mean, it's rare that you just like, all right, go ahead and coach out your contract. And then we'll talk about, the extension after it's up. That doesn't happen. You're either extended or you're fired. And so if Ryan Pace has 1 year left, I'm guessing he probably has more than that on there. Not to say that they can't, fire them before that, but I just don't feel like I don't feel like you're just going to let them play out their contracts and then pick up conversations after that. So yeah, I think that this is where we're at. This is the why. They probably had a great week of practice. Go back and look at the tape. All this, I'm just preparing myself.
Don't forget about that.
They're collaborating. I'm just getting myself ready now. Everyone else calls this stuff that Nagy throws out. They all call it word salad. I call it word soup. I've always clung to word soup because that fills you up so much that if you eat too much, you're gonna throw up, and it fills you up so much faster than the salad does. And I get filled up on that crap so quick. When I hear that, I was listening to a bunch of different Nagy press conferences and I'm like, what? You didn't even say anything. And I'm tired of this organization talking like they're guarding the nuclear codes. Like there's some kind of secret that they can't tell. Listen, You're on a need to know basis, and you don't need to know. This is so above your understanding. We're just gonna skate around this. We can't really tell you if someone had another surgery. We can't tell you if someone's actually hurt. We can't tell you if someone's actually ready or progressing. We can't do that. No. We gotta go 8-8 this year. No, hold on. We can't be 9-8 or 8-9, wherever the hell you want to go this year. They can't go 8-8 this year. So unless they tie, which that would be the most bearish thing ever, they go 8-8-1. But that kind of leads me. That was an inadvertent great segue to my next topic that I wanted to bring up. I believe that Vegas right now has the Bears at over under 7.5 wins. That means if you take the under, you think they're going to go 7-10. If you take the over, they can go at least 8-9. I'm confident that this team can actually win 8 or 9 games, though. I really do think they can do that, because if you look over this team compared, they went 8-8 last year. And where did they really get worse at? I mean, you can make a case for cornerback that they regressed at cornerback, but the quarterback situation, regardless of what you think of Andy Dalton and Justin Fields, the quarterback position's better. The running back position's definitely better. The wide receiver position's definitely better. Tight ends is going to be even or better. The offensive line, probably even. You'd hope that. I don't know if you got – they played atrocious last year. So I don't know if they can play worse than what they did in the first half of last year. They hit their stride at the end. So I guess you can call that a push. The defense – linebackers are going to be about a push. The defensive line getting Eddie Goldman back, hopefully, depending on what this injury is all about. Hopefully getting Eddie Goldman back. Secondary is a little bit of an iffy thing. You got Cairo Santos, a kicker. We didn't even get to talk about the kickers today, unfortunately. But I don't see where this team got a lot worse. I don't see where they got a lot better, but I also don't see where they got a lot worse. So I can see this team going 8-9 or 9-8. Maybe that sneaks them into the playoffs, into that coveted 7 spot that they got last year that it seems like they created just for the Bears. But so if I were a betting man, I would take the over on that 7.5 wins, but I could be wrong. What do you guys think? Aldo, I'll start with you.
Well, remember this old graphic that I did, weeks ago when the schedule was announced and we did our
year,
and everybody made fun of the little alien, which is supposed to be a spotlight on the helmets.
I thought it was like a rocket ship.
I thought it was a rocket ship too. I thought rocket ship.
It's like blasting off.
Yeah. I thought rocket ship. Absolutely.
It's supposed to be a spotlight because it's a national TV game.
Oh, rocket ship.
I thought
ship
those
game.
Were
got
the
it.
Or the winds. No. There's yeah, so few really. Of them. Well, so space games.
I've got a win in week 2. That's 1. A win in week 4. That's 2. I got a win in week 8. That's 3. A win in week 4. Sorry, Don from Detroit. I got the Bears sweeping the Lions. And I've got Seattle and New York as wins. So I think that gives us 7. So an under for me.
Okay, if we're going to do this, I'm going to run through this real quick. I think they beat Cincy in week 2. I think they beat Detroit week 4. I think they're going to beat Vegas. I don't think Vegas is nearly as good as – I don't think people are – you know, propping up Vegas, but I think they can beat Vegas in Vegas. So I'll give them 3 at week 5. Honestly, I think they're going to beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh. They haven't lost to the Steelers since 2005. And I think that the Steelers are going to, I know a lot of people are thinking they're underrated and they're going to come back and Big Ben's firing all cylinders. I think that they have some serious holes in that team. I think they beat the Steelers in week 9. I think I'm actually going to be at that game in Pittsburgh. And then I think they're going to sweep the Lions week 12. That gives them 5 wins. I think that they can maybe contend with the Cardinals a little bit, but I'll just chalk that up for a loss. I think they're at least going to split with the Vikings, so I'll give them 6 in week 15. And then I think they're going to beat the Giants, and I think that the – holy crap, that gives them 7 wins. Damn it. There's another win in there somewhere, though. I think they get 8. I think they get 8 wins.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine too. I just did a game by game prediction, so like I have them going 8-9. But it also depends on when is Justin Fields going to be starting. Are we talking? Are we going to hold him to after the bye week? Because then at that point, like, how many losses are we going to be counting at that point? But I have them beating. Oh, where'd the schedule graphic go? I'm like, oh
yeah.
Oh, there it is. Okay, cool. I'm like, I want to use this thing now too with the little spaceship aliens. Okay.
Yeah, spaceship. You can only watch it in space.
I love that. So I had them beating the Bengals in week 2, Lions in week 4. I had them beating Vegas in week 5. And then I had them going on a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 game losing streak. Did you count that right? Yes.
Yeah.
From week 6 through 11. Oof, sorry. And then beating the Lions. I have them beating the Cardinals, which is like one of my upset ones. But I think Justin Fields versus Kyler Murray is going to be just a thing of beauty to watch. I have them losing to the Packers, beating the Vikings at home. I have them beating the Seahawks and the Giants. So
Hold on. Is that the Lions helmet on a platter with a gourd for the yes! Thanksgiving game? I didn't, you know what, originally I didn't give you enough credit for that. You put a lot of good detail into that. I'm proud of you. That and those rocket ship games, I guess you can only watch them from space or whatever.
You need to share this on social media, please.
Yeah, I think you did before, but I want to see it again. The spotlight those, spotlight these spaceship games. So I think, basically, Aldo, you said 7 wins, Alyssa and I said 8 wins. And that's what kind of what we're looking at, a very Bears season, a very Bears, like maybe 5-0, Roy, come on.
We know a good joke when we see one, Roy.
Yeah. don't you give me that. So we have them at 8-9 or 7-10, which is right around the over under. I guess those guys in Vegas knows what the hell they're doing. They set that over under pretty well. So yeah, that's kind of our outlook. Those are our predictions. You can't go 500, but they're going to get as close as they can to it. Whether it's 8-9 or 9-8, maybe 7-10. But
watch them sneak into the playoffs again. I swear.
And then Nagy's good until the year 2045. Then he's good.
Take it back. Undo.
Yeah, he's good forever. He's good. And I hate talking like this because you want the Bears to win. I want the Bears to win. I'm not rooting for them to lose. And I feel like that gets twisted sometimes in my tone. And I feel really bad about it because I want this team to win. I want them to go to the playoffs. I want them to win. I want them to win a Super Bowl. But whenever you look over this, it's hard to really see a championship team on this, especially with the way some of the salary cap is shaken out. Next year looks much brighter, whether it's more salary cap, Justin Fields being the full-time starter, maybe a new coach, probably not. But next year does look much brighter, but there's still this year to be had. There's anything can happen in the NFL. And I think that there's always that chance. So we got to hold on to that hope that anything can happen because you know what? It's all we got as Bears fans. But before we close things out, I do want to talk about some stuff that Alyssa and I are working on. Aldo, you alluded to the Bear Debate. That's a new show we got here on the Barroom Network. Tyler Ellis and I go head-to-head on 5 burning questions around the Chicago Bears. That show debuted last night, and it debuted this week, in case depending on when you're listening to this. But go back and listen to that. Very, very high energy, very argumentative, all in good fun, all in good spirits. And then we have a roundtable debate with Aldo in there as well. A really, really great show that we just debuted there. Obviously, Buffon 55, so grateful to have all of you. Alyssa and Aldo, so grateful to have you guys back on this. Everyone who's listening to this for the first time or the 50th time, I appreciate you tuning in for episode 1 of season 5. Also, Bear Football, our post-game show immediately after the Bears game. We'll be on immediately after the Bears-Rams game to give you some raw emotional reaction to what happened, for better or for worse. And also, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Pass the Mic, a show that Alyssa and I worked on last year, a show that we're very, very proud of. We have handed that off to the very, very capable hands of Peggy Kaczynski, who is doing a great job taking over that show. Her first guest was Sarah Spain, and she's got some great guests lined up to take over that show, a show all about empowering women in sports and sports media. So proud of where that show started, how it progressed.
If I can break in, the next guest is released tomorrow, Stephanie Rivera, who is the wife of Washington football team Ron Rivera. But the story about Stephanie Rivera that maybe a lot of people don't know is that she was a great athlete, played college basketball, went on to be a coach at the WNBA, and has now been an influencer in making the NFL become better aware of what women can bring to coaching departments and scouting departments. It's a fascinating discussion, and it will be released tomorrow. Peggy Kaczynski, I'm past the mic. And thank you to you, John, and you, Alyssa, for a great first season. You launched that show into the stratosphere. And as John said, Peggy is going to take it even further. Great job, the two of you on that show.
Thank you. Thank you. And I know Alyssa and I are both very proud of that show and what we were able to do in that first season. And now it's Peggy's to take and run with it. And she's doing a great job. So that's everything going on with me at the Barroom. And like I said, immediately after the Bears game, you get Aldo, Tyler, and I to give some real raw emotional reaction. So I gotta save my voice for that one because I have a feeling that's going to be an exciting show. But Alyssa, can you let the viewers and listeners know what you're up to, where they can find some of your work as well?
Yeah, I'm getting ready for the game. Obviously, a lot of game preview stuff on BearsWire.com. So after the game on Sunday night, after you listen to Bear Football, head on over to BearsWire.com. We're going to have a whole bunch of wrap-up stuff. Hopefully, we're celebrating win. Probably not. But we're going to covering the game all week long, every day. It's super exciting. And obviously, coming back here with Buffon 55 is super exciting. And I can't wait to listen to the new Pass the Mic. I'm so excited to see what Peggy's going to do with that this season. So, make sure that you are staying informed about all the great things happening here at the Barroom too. So you can follow us on social media at Barroom Network, and you can find us all across social media, including Facebook, Twitter, and of course, YouTube.
That's right. And be sure to bookmark all of Alyssa's work on Bears Wire and everything else that she does over there. She is a machine. She churns out stories like I've never seen anyone do. So make sure that you follow her and listen and watch all and read all of her stuff. It's pretty amazing. And before we go, I just want to send a special thought to one of our most loyal barflies that we've had throughout the years, Heidi down in Mexico. Our thoughts are with you after that massive earthquake hit down there. We hope you're doing well. And like I said, our thoughts are with you. We hope that if you're able to listen to this, just know that we're thinking of you. But that will do it for this episode of Buffon 55. Thank you for tuning in. It's season 5. Let's get ready for some football. Enjoy the game, everybody. We'll see you next week.